We're talking today in regard to God's relationship with us and our relationship back with Him. And as we talked this morning, I noted that many of our young people that were here, and good to see you, Tyler. Come on up and be with us. Good to see you, brother. Good to have you here. He's a good student there at Northwest Community College and a very faithful member there at Coffeyville. And the often young people come over this way to a youth day on Coffeyville. You well know that. What a blessing it is to talk about a relationship that we can have. Not just knowing somebody, but a relationship with. A related way of doing things. It's a wonderful thing to have that kind of a relationship with a husband, a relationship with a wife, or a relationship with children and parents, grandparents, and so forth, so on. Wonderful ways of life can be seen and evidenced by the way that they love each other and care for each other and help each other. And so that's a good thing to do. But I don't do either tonight that the good book tells us that there are certain things in life that we can do. We can drink, for example, that will have a relationship with us that we did not choose. In the book of Proverbs, very vivid description is given regarding this. If you'll note in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. What are we going to be doing when we're deceived thereby? Wine is presented on most television programs these days. Wine then shows there about somebody offers a weight of wine. Thinking that whiskey has alcohol to it, many conclude that wine does not have. But it does have, and that's how the scripture here tells us. It is a mocker. Wine is a mocker. And strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I can get into the wine, and I can get into this way of thinking and doing, and I'll be fine to drive. Many have foolishly found themselves in that capacity, and there are over 20,000 people that lose their lives on the highways throughout this nation each year because someone has wine in their system, and it did mocked them. It took control of them. They were not able to make the decisions and judgment in time to stop a speeding car to a slower halt without a crash underway. And you think about all of the lives that are lost each year due to that. It's a raging thing, but it is nevertheless a relationship it maintains to the individual. In regard to that which is strong drink, that it is said, it is strong drink. There's more description given by Solomon in the book of Proverbs chapter 23. And down at verse number, well, to begin in that particular passage, let's begin at verse number 29. Who hath woes? Who hath sorrows? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath, now he gets closer to the idea, redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they do that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say. I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. The qualities of addiction are mentioned here in verse 35. The qualities of stuporness, in which a person has hurt and harms and bruises and battered and scars, but has no feeling in them. No sensation has been uttered there. The idea of the relationship to the strong and mixed wines that have been used. What does God tell us in His Word about that? He tells us that this is a deceptive thing. We cannot say, well, I'll tell you what, every so often I like to have a little drink. Well, we can have that little drink, but beware the fact that it can be a deceptive thing, and we can be suddenly called to go to the hospital for some of our loved ones that have been admitted there, and we just forget the fact that we have a little wine in our system, and we're out on the road going down the lanes, and we don't realize the danger that we pose to ourselves or to others passing us by at the time. Unfortunate circumstances can occur. And that relationship that we've had with that wine or strong drink has still remained with us. And though we have suddenly been called for help and aid and assistance, maybe a blood transfusion is admitted and needed and that sort of thing, and we have the way to do that, and we can be there just a few minutes of time. They called us because we were close enough by, yet we have that influence within us. That relationship to it impairs us. But we go anyway. The call is too grave. The explanation for our not coming is too severe for us to counter and talk about. So we just get out and get in that big automobile and we go. Are we really fully capacitated to make that drive and to talk with that family and to make that helpful gesture? Or is it the case we're impaired? Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15 has an example for us. Habakkuk the prophet says to the persons of the people of Israel in his day and time, that whether they are Jews or Gentiles, they can be people who are judged by God. The Gentiles naturally have a way of life that is against the way of God. They petition and go to what he describes there in Habakkuk chapter 2 as those idols that cannot speak, cannot hear them, cannot respond to them. And yet it is the case that they speak nevertheless to them. They bow before them. It's a sad situation that occurs. Think about the ways of life that we're talking about here. We're talking about a relationship that is with them, a relationship that is a part of the daily walk of life that they have in their ways of life. Habakkuk describes this situation. He says, "Do not. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh his drunken also, that you may uncover his nakedness." There is an influence in this bottle and with this drink that is being submitted by a supposed friend, and says to that individual, "Take this, have this, be a part of this, but I have an ulterior motive in mind. I have an ulterior motive that this will not allow you that you drink to see. You will be with this and you will be refreshed with this and you will not really realize what my intention with you is." The intention to have a homosexual relationship or something like that is mentioned here. But more especially, it's the idea of being people who find a way of life that is not of God. "Thou art filled with shame," he says, "for glory. He talks in verse 17, the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beast, which will make them afraid because of men's blood, for the violence of the land and the city, and for all that dwell in it. He describes the people who, in verse 19, woe to him that saith to the wood, awake, or the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold or silver. There is no breath in it at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. This passage of scripture is set in opposition to the idea that idolatry is there, though it may be covered with valuable things like silver and gold, may be shined to a fare thee well, a compelling call from the brilliance of the shine. Come, bow down before me. But he explains it has no feeling, it has no sensation of sound, that it can hear you. It has no way of responding to you. Yet that has been made by mankind. But the Lord is not in that kind of a temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Holiness. That's why he asks us in the New Testament of our Bible, in 1 Corinthians 6, to live a holy way of life. That within us dwells the Spirit of God, and we find ourselves rejoicing to have that relationship with him, that we live in this faithful way to God. What will hurt us from that relationship? What will keep us from that? One of the things that we wanted to emphasize tonight, one of the things to all those who listen by way of the internet system, is not to be deceived. Wine is a mocker. And strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20 verse 1. And the one who takes strong drink and mixed wines finds himself in a position described in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs as one who does not realize it when cuts and bruises and abrasions have happened. Has no sensation of feeling when he is up high on the mast where it's cool and cold overnight and the ship. No sensation. Yet, once alert and once missing that bottle, this person arises and said, I will seek it again. I want it. I need it. I have to have it. I'm addicted to it. I've got to have it. Where is it? Now then, here's a person in Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk, a prophet that's warning the people of Israel, the Jewish people, that they can have the same judgment of God against them as do the Gentiles who bow before the wood and bow before these stones that cannot hear them and cannot do a thing for them. But the Lord in his holy temple should be bowed before. Let us seek him and let's do his will. And yet what we find here is one who has the knowledge that this that I have in this bottle can be offered to my friend. And this will stupor him in such a way that I can take advantage of him. I can do whatsoever I will. Likely he'll not even remember that this occurred. I may take his money from his pouch at the same way that I will take advantage of his body. I will let him find out later, not at that moment in time. So here, drink this, take this, use this for the purpose that is to deceive him. You know, I raise this particular question. People talk about the wine that Jesus made from the water in John chapter 2 in reference to Mary's request of him at this wedding feast. You reckon Jesus was making for them the type of wine described in Proverbs 23, as moving about. The scientists tell us that that's what happens to the wine when it is with alcohol content. The more that it has, the more releasing that it does. It gets to the surface and it moves about in that liquid to escape. Reckon Jesus was trying to prepare them for taking advantage, or was it the case that Jesus was seeking to offer them the onios, the wine? And always in the Old Testament of the Bible, when reference to wine, the context describes whether it is fermented wine, whether it's alcohol enraged, or it is the regular grape juice. Isaiah talks about the wine that is in the cluster of the grape. Wine is there. It can be used in that way, but it has to not to be. It can be just the grape juice itself. And our Lord was asked to serve this situation. Was he seeking to create a stupor among those who were there in that wedding feast? Or was he seeking to make a point well made that he loved his mother and he cared about her feelings about this situation and the need of this couple getting wed on that occasion? You know, we think about relationships in life. We often talk about those kind of relationships that dealt with, as we mentioned this morning. And by the way, the young people were listening. They raised their neck up and they raised their eyes up and they listened as I talked about the kind of relationships that we have that eventually get us into marriages. And what thing we would want of that young man or that young woman? Would we want that person to be honest with us? Or a deceiver? Well, we want that person to be a little bit of drink or drunkard or one that's sober. Well, we want that person to be helpful to us as we make decisions in life or harmful to us, taking advantage of us. Well, we want that person to go with us and love us and genuinely care for us. Or we want that person to abandon us at the first opportunity of trouble and difficulties that we face. What would we want about life and that relationship that we have? The Lord didn't want us to go forth and be examples for Him as we go forth as telling falsehoods, living deceptive ways of life, living ways of life where His word doesn't count at all. And anything about it is just a joke to people and a mismanagement way of life in our own ways of doing things. He didn't want us to do that. He wanted us to be people who were able to build, as he said there in Luke 14. He wanted us to be able to take advantage of a building situation and finish the building that we'd started, lest those come by and they mockingly look at that building and say, "Behold, a man began to build but could not finish." Jesus didn't want that to be the case. He wanted people to be constructive and helpful and good people of life. That matches up with what we mentioned this morning with regard to someone whose future is involved with that relationship. It may be that a good relationship has begun, but in that relationship of learning that individual, we find that there's an opportunity to deceive somebody, an opportunity to lie about something. And I tell to not tell the truth about all things. Would it be the case that in this marriage forthcoming that that person might not tell you all the truth and might not be factual with you and might not be receptive to your feelings when lies are told and falsehoods are practiced? Think about Jesus teaching about relationships to God and relationships to one another. And we talk about a way of life that is godly and godlike. Paul talked about salvation in this regard, as I mentioned in Titus 2, verses 1 and 2. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness. Don't have that relationship with ungodly things. Deny ungodliness. Deny worldly lust. the worldly lust things of life that come about and are part of our scene and our ways of life are not to be ours as servants of God. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, deny worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. As we live soberly, we'll restrain these sort of things of wine. We'll know its mocking qualities. We'll sense it and see it. We will sadly, sadly pray for those individuals in life to be better off, better decisions to be made than we will to rejoice with the fun things that they get into. We'll find ourselves doing the will of God as He has said, rather than our own will as we go forth in life from day to day. As we sing this song of invitation tonight, remember that all things are ready for any to obey the gospel, be baptized into Christ, begin to live that new way of life that Paul writes about in Romans 6. And in the process of our days of life, we find ourselves wanting more and more that relationship that is good and rewarding and helpful. And as a result of that, be kind of people that are remembered in the long run as people who were servants of God, who were doing right and righteous things, who wanted to do the good things of life rather than the harmful things of life. What a blessing it is to have this, to not be a mocker to our lives. As we stand to sing our song tonight, will you come to Jesus as we stand to sing?
I am weak, but thou art strong.